Have you ever been told, have you tried yoga? It might be helpful with your illness. And you immediately get annoyed because A, unsolicited advice, and B, you don't believe yoga could possibly be helpful. Well, just keep an open mind because there are many of us Spoonies who do find yoga to be beneficial. Like my guest today, MS Warrior Clarissa Hidalgo, who is going to share with us her experiences. So let's get into this episode of Chronically Living. I'm Kelsey Harris, chronic illness warrior and psychotherapist. On Chronically Living and How to Make the Most of It, we're providing tangible ways to improve the well-being of Spoonies. So get ready to make the most out of your life, even with that pesky chronic illness.
Hi, I'm Clarissa Hidalgo. Clarissa Hernandez Hidalgo by marriage, but Clarissa Hidalgo is my business name, and I am a registered yoga teacher. I am a birth doula. I am a self-help group leader for the MS Society. I run Multiple Sclerosis Mamas, a Facebook group over 1,000, specifically women with multiple sclerosis strong. I run MS Mamas platforms like our Clubhouse and our Instagram as well. And I just am a big advocate, definitely, for chronic illness and especially for multiple sclerosis and mothers as well.
Clearly, Clarissa does a lot of advocacy and support work for her MS community. But how did things start off for her? Here's her story.
Thank you so much for welcoming me on, Kelsey, and allowing me to share my story. I've been living with MS now for a little over 10 years. I was diagnosed when I was 19 years old. And I mean, the story kind of, it feels very rehearsed sometimes. It feels like, wow, this is the story of everyone. But everyone's story is a little different of their diagnosis. I was diagnosed really, really early. And from what I have heard from doctors and other individuals, it's a very good thing because earlier treatment, earlier prognosis leads to better overall health. And we can really learn to tackle things early on. I definitely didn't embrace that right away, but it's something that over time I did. So when I was 19, I was a sophomore in college. I was attending UC at that time in California, in the Central Valley, where it gets very, very hot. And MS doesn't do too well with heat. It doesn't do too well with stress, like many of the chronic illnesses. We know that to be a definite thing. Stress exacerbates almost every single little thing that's going on. So I'm a sophomore in college, 16 units of work a semester, 8 hours of work on the side as a, you know, just like a caterer or a dining room person. So I'm working, I'm going to school full time, I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm really trying to just juggle it. And lo and behold, these little things start happening. And I'm like, oh, it's vertigo, you know, go to the doctor. She's like, oh yeah, it's vertigo. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. She's like, oh, little exercises, it's salt, this and that. I don't know, she gives this crazy explanation. So I knew it was more than that, but I ignored it. Like many of us, when we first get diagnosed with chronic illnesses, I ignored it. The summer came around. I went to the ocean. My foot was heavily dragging, heavy, heavy dragging. My left foot was dragging to the point of where I was falling. And so the walking issues just kind of started there. Once again, I ignored it, pushed it off, went back to school. The walking issues continued. I remember feeling so debilitated, so tired. I remember all of those things, but just brushing it off. And then I went home in winter for Christmas break. And I saw my mom, you know, she saw me. She's like, man, you don't look great. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, it's okay. You know, I'm doing fine. I was living with my in-laws at that time. So I'm like, no, I'm fine. My mom sees me Christmas Eve and I'm falling and I fall again. And she's like, that's it. You have to go to the hospital. So she made me go to the hospital. My spouse, my boyfriend at the time, drove me there, being the oldest of nine myself. So I went to the hospital Christmas Eve, and it was not the best experience, as you can imagine, because everyone loves to go to the hospital for whatever reason on a major holiday. It's like the place to be. So went to the hospital, waited hours, because look at me. Mm-hmm. What, it doesn't look like anything's wrong with me. I can talk about something, but you know, for them to see it is something totally different. So when I finally got in, they started to see changes. They started to notice things. They started to notice my eyes weren't tracking. They started to notice, wow, you can't lift your leg. There is this overall weakness in your left side that we need to take care of. So they admitted me. And they put me in triage or whatever. They did the MRI and they saw lesions. Luckily, thankfully, and I will never forget this and be forever grateful, my father was very good friends, because like I mentioned, he's a DJ. Kind of before this call, my father was a DJ, and he would trade like records, like on the side with people, and the neurologist just so happened to do a little DJing on the side. It was the craziest thing. So my dad was like, hey, my daughter just went into the hospital. He was on call, that he was the neurologist for the night. So he said, do you think you can see what's going on? So luckily he was able to get me in. They did the MRI that night. They saw the lesions. They said, we're 99.9% sure that you have multiple sclerosis, but we're going to do a spinal tap just to confirm. And it was the first time I had ever heard those two words put together. They had told me they had thought that prior to doing the MRI. But when they finally told me, I was like, what's that? Like, I had no idea. It was the first time I'd ever heard that. No one in my family had it. I had never heard of anyone around me that had it. So it was really scary. And Spinal Tap was like, wow, what are they going to do? And they explained it, you know, insert a giant needle into the base of your spine and pull out fluid so that way we can detect whether you have certain cells that lead to the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. It was scary. I was 19. I was crying. My mom and dad had been separated from my birth. So to have them in the same room during this really scary time together, during this really tense situation, it was just all bad. So they ended up doing it. The nurse had to sit on me because I was shaking so bad. But my spouse held my hand and, you know, we got through it. It would come back weeks later that it was positive. They wanted to start me on medication right away. They did. They started me on Copaxone injections, which were daily at that time. They started me on that right away. I didn't start taking it right away. Go figure, you know. It was a lot to process. The diagnosis of MS, so what is this? I have to even research what this is. What resources are there out there for me? So I went through that, and then I started the shots. When I started the shots, I was still in college, still trying to do the 16 units. The brand new job I had just got, which I eventually had to leave. So lots of things really started to compound for me. And so once again, much like prior to my diagnosis, I began to kind of push it off to the wayside, focus on my studies, say, this is me. This is me. And this is something separate from me, which is totally true. Your diagnosis is completely separate from who you were. But at that time, that wasn't what I needed, but it is what I did. It was how I chose to deal with my diagnosis at that time. Looking back, it's a grieving process. When you get diagnosed with a chronic illness, you have to go through the denial, through the anger. You have to do it all, because if you don't, you're going to be stuck in one of those stages forever. So I did the denial, the depression. I did it all for at least a year. And then I started running support groups for the Multiple Sclerosis Society, because the first time I ever went to a support group, I walked back out because it was scary as hell, because everyone was in a wheelchair. Yeah, there was no one there under 40 years old, because it was the scariest thing I've ever seen. And I said, I'm never going to do this again. And I didn't. But I did go create my own support group for young women with multiple sclerosis. And I started just doing outreach and education and stuff in my area. And that's how I learned to heal.
Clarissa transitioned from a diagnosis journey to a healing one, just like many of my other guests have.
I think eventually I was able to come to a point and a time in my diagnosis where it was time to deal. And I did heal myself through, in a sense, healing others. I healed my own body by grabbing onto walls in yoga studios, by watching everyone maybe not laugh at me, but probably stare at me and feel concerned for me, and watching my struggle. I dealt with it all. I went through it, and I did it because I said, every other person after me is going through this. Every other young person is going to go through this too. Every person with multiple sclerosis is going through this, and I want to be an example. So I do try to be, you know, an example for my women with multiple sclerosis, for my babies who I have now, because I was going through school. Like I said, during my diagnosis, I kept going. But the minute I had a positive pregnancy test, I said, I'm done. I said, this isn't as important to me. Maybe it's because I had more of a traumatic childhood. But I said, nothing is important as raising my children, a child. So I dropped out of school. I became a registered yoga teacher because it was good for my health, good for my multiple sclerosis. It was a passion I had always maintained throughout grad school, throughout everything. So I just went back to the basics. I started taking care of myself. And that was really all I could do. And basically, my life, I'd say, it's probably never been as good as it is now, just because I did follow my heart. I did not make $50,000 a year, but I am home with my kids every single day. Mm-hmm. And I am doing what I love every single day. And I'm still making money. And there's no rush.
Clarissa focuses on both self-care and also care for others, as evident through her work.
I was going to school for social work. I think it just comes from the healing profession. You know what I mean? I was a psychology major in my undergrad. You know, I was always an empath, you know, oldest of 9 children here. You know, I was always the caregiver. So I think it just naturally kind of came to me. And it couldn't just go away with MS. You know, I still had to feel like I was, you know, we talk in psychology, we talk about fulfilling our life's purpose. We talk about, you know, the things that we want to accomplish and establish before, you know, we actually go on with our lives. And so it was very important to me. And I think it really is the basis for a lot of great things.
Clarissa and I discuss MS and pregnancy, which makes sense since she runs Multiple Sclerosis Mamas. For that part of our conversation, sign up to be a patron of Chronically Living. The link is in the show notes. Okay, so let's talk about yoga. I practice yoga and I've had a pretty solid practice for almost 2 years now, mostly at home using YouTube. I've found it to be incredibly helpful with flexibility and pain. But of course, Clarissa and I have different diagnoses, so I was wondering about her yoga journey. And of course, she's a yoga teacher, so her journey is much different than mine.
So when I was in the waiting room, I think it was about a year after my diagnosis, I was still in college. I was still going to UCSF, and I was in the waiting room to see my neurologist, who was getting ready to fit me for a walker. Because my abilities had declined so much. I was just constantly having to hold on to walls, people, something in order to even get around. So when I was in that waiting room, waiting to be seen for that visit, I met a man who was from the exact same town that I was. Do you know how crazy that is? Like, you're in this giant city of San Francisco, and then you're in this little neurologist specialist office. And then you meet this man who's from the same exact town that you're from. It's like, okay, this is meant to be.
Yeah.
And he had MS. And he was amazing. I just fell in love with him. His name was Paul. And I will always credit my practice to him because he was so friendly. He was like, hi, I'm Paul. I was like, hi, boyfriend. But he was just like, no, hi. And he started talking and we found out he was from Turlock. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, have you ever done yoga? I was like, no. He's like, do you want to do it? I was like, yeah. Who are you? And he's like, I'll pick you up. I was like, because I was like, oh, I'm not driving right now. I don't do that right now. And he's like, I'll pick you up. I'll go pick you up and we can go to yoga together. I'm like, did I mention I have a boyfriend? But he was married and stuff. He was just a really nice guy. He's like, yeah, there's this great little studio. They can give you a grant through the MS Society to get your yoga paid for. I mean, that's how I do it. And there's this specialized yoga class just for MS. They lower the temperature. They blah, blah, blah. This teacher's really great. I was like, wow, I'll go. And so I went and it was hard as. It was so hard that I almost didn't want to go back. Like I was so sore the next day. But then I think a day went by and then another day went by. And then I started to be like, huh, well, I feel like really good now. Maybe there's something to this. And so I went back again and I started going back and we started going weekly to that MS yoga class together. And lo and behold, grabbing onto walls, using the props, taking it easy, doing it all. With the flexibility and everything, you know, even though it didn't feel like I was always engaging the muscles or maybe I was always doing everything correctly, I just kept going. And I started to get better and I started to breathe better and I started to learn more about the practice. And so I started to look into more classes and Paul would go sometimes. The progression of MS is a little different in men. Mm-hmm. It hits them a little harder. They will usually hit primary progressive a lot earlier than women. So he would have harder times than me. But I continued to go. I took my car back off non-op because I could drive again because I could use my legs again. And I started to be able to walk. I mean, at this point, I had gotten rid of every pair of heels that I owned. I had given up hope, faith, and a whole lot of things. I mean, it had been a good 5 years probably since I had really been able to walk well. And so I finally just began to regain my strength. And I did the standing poses and my core muscles got stronger. And I was like, wow, I'm doing this like 3 to 4 times a week now. And everyone could see the difference. And my family saw the difference. And they were like, wow, this is really good for you. And then lo and behold, I got pregnant. And it's like, wow, I'm just going to continue doing yoga. And so I just kept doing yoga. I took a leave off school, which was the greatest thing ever because it led to me just dropping out of grad school. And that was the greatest decision ever too, because social work ain't no joke. And honestly, it led to me really finding my passion, which is being a registered yoga teacher, but being a helper, because that's what I always was. Mm-hmm. Because that's what therapists, that's what social workers are. They are helpers. And that's what I am. I am a registered yoga teacher, but I am a helper. I am a feeler. I am a healer all the way. And if anyone has ever told you that we don't embody our trauma or whatever is going on in our lives. They need to read the book, The Body Keeps Score. The Body Keeps the Score by Vanderpolk, that's his name. I keep it like on my desk side. The body embodies everything that you give it. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, happy, sad. So that was definitely something I learned. And I kept going to prenatal yoga. I would do it once a week. I slowed it down and I just kept doing it and it did great for me. I loved getting into the yoga. I loved eventually going on to get my registered yoga teacher license because it just felt like the right way to go. It felt like it was all a path to happen. Registered yoga teacher. And then I think within 5 years or so, I was a birth doula. And then now I'm running my programs for women with multiple sclerosis. It's life is such a progression. And I just love where I am at right now.
So what specifically has Clarissa found to be helpful for her? How did she regain her mobility?
Everyone has a different struggle with MS. Sometimes it's vision. Sometimes it's in dexterity. Sometimes it's in speech. I have speech issues occasionally as well. But my major symptoms started in my left leg. Mm-hmm. I started with the drop and it would just feel like the joint part of my hip right here. Mm-hmm. It would just feel like someone was like, just driving a piece of lead in there. And it was so heavy. I just couldn't lift it. And so it helped with that. It helped with developing my strength in areas that really were probably lacking for whatever reason or another. But if we all do yoga and true yoga, like not just the, you know, the fancy stuff. Like if we really do the movements, the breathing, the circling, the stretching and stuff, we will find those little areas in our body and be like, wow, this arm didn't lift as high. Wow, this is that. That is what yoga is all about. That's the basis of it. It's about noticing, mm-hmm. not about dwelling. It's about noticing and moving on. Because we're different every single day.
Mindful movement, right? So yoga is another mindfulness practice. And there is a lot of research that we've talked about before on the show that supports the both the use of mindfulness and movement for many chronic health conditions, such as chronic pain and a variety of autoimmune diseases.
I get paid to do it. I'm like, really? Like, honestly, I still have to pinch myself sometimes because, you know, I work for Dignity now and it's just like, I'm kind of looking to leave Dignity at this time to really launch my program, to really get things started. And it's like 5 years ago, I could have never imagined this. Mm-hmm. Like I work for a major hospital. Like I'm looking to leave a major hospital to start my own business. You know what I mean? All of these different, this progression of life is just crazy. And it all began with yoga.
I was wondering what styles of yoga Clarissa has found to be helpful or if she has preferences, because there's many approaches out there, right? Restorative, hot, different types of flows like vinyasa, stuff like yin, where you hold the positions for long periods of time. So very curious of what she uses.
I'm kind of like a jack of all trades girl, honestly. So yoga, I have had my seasons. I've totally had my seasons for yoga. So when I was pregnant, when I needed it, it was obviously prenatal yoga during those two times in my life. Because I have two babies. I have a one-year-old and a five-year-old. So those were seasons of my life. And that's the thing. Seasons change, right? Mm-hmm. Just like the body. And that's what I try to always say to my girls is your body is changing. Your body is going to fluctuate. And if you're going to have babies, you better get ready to see some crazy stuff. So there was the prenatal time. And then there has always been the restorative practice for me to go back to. Why? Because it's kind of how I had to begin. A lot of people begin yoga with the harder stuff, with the whatever. I had to walk before I ran. I had to learn how to even be able to raise up off the floor before I could do anything. So restorative will always be a huge love of mine. And everyone will always say that is one of my specialties. And I agree. I am very good at restorative. I have kind of floated away from it because it's not where I'm needed right now, I guess you could say. But I always come back to it. And in my own personal practice, it most always floats back to restorative in one way or another. The hatha, when I was going through the training, the hatha and the vinyasa were very, very big for me. Whenever I feel the momentum of the changing seasons, I also feel like a little rush of hatha vinyasa practice comes about as well. It's almost like if you're familiar with Ayurveda at all, it's almost like the pitta that you need in your life, the fire behind you to just kind of get you going. But I just love the practice and I love to circle through what my body needs at the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, and I am an accessible yoga instructor, which just means that I modify poses according to what my body needs. I use props. I use blankets. I use bolsters. I'm not afraid to use a wall. And that comes from obviously my beginnings of having to practice with a disability.
Are you still feeling skeptical about trying yoga? Here's what Clarissa has to say about your skepticism.
I would say if someone's telling you to do yoga, most likely A, they have a experience with the practice. B, they've probably gotten in touch with themselves in the practice and they've probably experienced some sort of change that they want you to feel as well during the practice. So that's why I say why, because just ask. And if you ask, you'll find 90% of the time, no one to explain it to you because no one can explain it. No one can explain the magic of yoga. When I was in grad school, I was going to do this whole thorough study on yoga. No one can explain the magic of yoga because it is your body working for you. We feel like all of these changes are happening physically, but there is so much more going on that we don't even account. When we're talking breathing, when we're talking balancing, we're talking emotions, we are talking spasticity, we're talking strengthening and all of these other things that we don't even realize that we have really, really had to deal with in this. So it's hot bodies, it's high ponytails, it's tight pants and stuff if you want it to be. But really, the eight limbs of yoga, if you go back to Patanjali's teachings, if you go back to the sutras, the yoga sutras, if you go back to India where yoga was first founded, movement didn't even come about till about the 1900s in yoga. So that means that all prior to the 1900s, we were doing breathing, we were doing stretching, we were doing heart work, we were just doing all of these other exercises that are so good for us, that were so good for us mentally, we didn't even get to the movements yet. And then for whatever reason, someone probably got bored and was like, oh, well, let's move while we're doing this, you know, and that's fine. But for us to always remember that the core of yoga is life management, from parenting to emotions to your body getting older. Yoga is about life management and it's about balance.
Are you ready for our lightning round questions?
I am.
Okay, so let's start off. What are the top five songs that describe your life?
My gosh. So I grew up pretty. First of all, I just want to say you need to buy me coffee first. All y'all who just trying to creep into my life. and be in bed with me already. Music is very personal. My dad was a DJ, so I'm very connected to music. And as an empath, I mean, I feel it, you know, I feel everything. I would say Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Crossroads has always been a super, like, I don't know, like in my moment song. It's a super like ghetto song, but that's one of my songs is Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Crossroads. Journey, Open Arms. That's always been my karaoke song, but honestly, I've been in love with it since I was like 10. Let's see what's in the Doors, Light My Fire. That's like my husband and mine song, which is funny. I told my grandma that was our song and she was like, what? That's our song. And I was like, oh my God, that's so inappropriate, grandma.
It's amazing.
But you know, hey, the Doors. So I'm a big Doors fan, of course. Let's see, what were my other two gonna be? I know I told you I couldn't think of one, but there was one other one that I was thinking of that I can't right now.
It's okay. I mean, we can go with the three. Those are great.
We'll go with the three. We'll go with the three.
Cool. Okay. What's one thing you can't go a day without doing?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I would say I do yoga every day. But I do yoga every day in a sense that I stretch every day. I breathe every day. I do some component of yoga every day. A yoga practice does not have to be something like, and I hope everyone realizes that, it doesn't have to be something super strict. It doesn't have to be, I carve out 30 minutes to every single day. I have kids. I have two under five. Do you know how hard it is to get in yoga when you're not getting paid? It's almost impossible. So basically, I would just say, get it in when you can and be gentle. You know, I that's what I tell everyone, be gentle on yourself because our bodies will tell us. That's one of the most important things too. Listen. Our bodies will tell us exactly what we need at all times. And so ways that I incorporate my kids into the practice is I put a YouTube video on and I let them jump around with me. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just little things.
That's awesome. What's one thing you plan on doing in your life that you haven't yet?
I would like to, I think I'm going to go like, overseas somewhere. I'm going to get in an airplane and go somewhere because I have been, obviously I've flown like down south in California and I've been like to Nevada. But can you believe like I have never been out of California really.
Oh.
So that is one thing I want to do eventually when my girls are grown, you know, when I have nothing to do. I'd like to travel.
That's awesome. Describe your perfect day.
I'd say it's just like making a big pot of menudo or something, just something that's just for the day, just set it and forget it. And getting, you know, I don't know, some bread or something and just chilling at home with my girls and just, you know, they are holiday girls. Like if there is one thing I instilled in my children, it's like we celebrate holidays in this house.
That's amazing.
It's like as soon as Halloween comes around, it's like you need to go get the decorations, mom.
Yes. That's awesome. And how do you inspire others to make the most of their lives?
I think it's by example. Honestly, I think that is the best way. I'm not going to say the only way because obviously there's a lot of other ways. I run my group, you know, I'm able to do it that way and stuff. But I would definitely say just leading by example, letting people see, look, I have MS. I have two girls. I have my shitty days, even though I don't show them as much on social media. You could probably DM me on the low and I'll be like, oh yeah, I feel like shit. because the days that I'm not posting on social media, it's because I feel like shit. The other days I'm posting like the happy stuff. So that is one thing. I always try to let people know, look, I put a happy face on. I do things for the cameras, but I put on one pant leg at a time, just like everyone else, which means I yell at my fucking kids when I'm mad at them, which means I get pissed off at my husband when he doesn't do what I ask him to, which means that I just need a day sometimes. You know, like Friday, I went to go get a pedicure and I was like, oh, it wasn't even, you know, I didn't get like all day, but I got an hour and it was like, oh, it was great, you know?
Yeah, totally. Amazing. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Where can we find you and follow you?
Totally. So you can follow me. You can pretty much find us anywhere under Multiple Sclerosis Mamas. That is our private Facebook group that is only for women with multiple sclerosis there on Facebook. But we have a Instagram platform. We have a Facebook page that you can follow. We have a Clubhouse that you can join as well. And other than that, I mean, just keep up with us and all of, you know, wherever you see the little logo, you know, of the women embracing each other. I should have put it as my background for this. I think it's a little distracting though.
Awesome. Well, again, Clarissa, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. This was a really great conversation.
Of course. And thank you again, Kelsey. You are so gracious.
So look, yoga probably won't be for everybody because nothing is for everybody. That's why we explore so many different options on the show. But if you're dismissing it without trying it because you don't like getting advice or you have some other thoughts about it, I would say first go back and maybe listen to the episode on creating some distance between you and your thoughts, because it's possible that your thoughts aren't serving you right now. I'm not saying it's 100% that's the case, but it's possible, okay? Second, maybe just give it a try because you never know if it's going to help unless you try, right? And we've talked before in the past with different specialists such as Dr. Richard Harris about, you know, trying doesn't mean like trying like three times and that's it. Like it takes about 10 weeks to see differences, whether it's with your emotions, thoughts, or physical body. So you'd actually have to give it like a solid try to see if it works. Okay. So let's reflect. What did you notice about your thoughts and feelings as you listened to Clarissa today? What are you noticing now as you think back on that noticing? That's it for this week. I'm actually going to go do some yoga now, and I hope all of you just keep on making the most of it. Special thanks to Mardi for the original music and Charity Williams for the original artwork.